Thank you, Todd. Good morning. Bonjour. Buenos dias. Ni hao. Guten Morgen. Suprahatam? Is that close? No, I spoke to people that speak Malayan, didn't even know what I said, so I know it didn't work. Bom dia, boreda. There are so many ways to greet people on a new day, or to say hello, or to say good morning, or to say good day. And when we greet someone, we normally do that with probably out even thinking about it. We've been looking at the one anothering commands in the New Testament letters, and one of them we find this morning. I'm asking you to turn to Romans chapter 16, and we're going to just look at this one verse. We're going to always look in context, but the context here in Romans 16, you're going to find is exactly what we're talking about. You can start back at the beginning of the chapter and work your way through where we're going to read, and you'll see it's all about greeting. Or if you're reading in the New King James, saluting. It'll say salute one another. I'm reading from the New King James, and the translation here is to greet. So Romans chapter 16, as Paul brings together at the close of this very important book. We looked at a passage in chapter 15 last week about receiving one another. And as we think this morning about greeting one another, he brings that to our attention here in verse 16 of chapter 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. We're going to find that passage or that little phrase repeated several times in the New Testament. I'll put it on the screen here so you don't have to turn there. But we also read in 1 Corinthians 16, 20, all the brethren greet you, greet one another with a holy kiss. And 2 Corinthians 13, 12, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5, 26, we don't have the one another phrase, but the thought is definitely there, clearly there. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Peter, in closing out his first letter, chapter 5 and verse 14, he changes it just a little bit. The others were written by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This one written by Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And here we read, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, we might, in reading the Word of God and coming across a verse like this or repeated verse like this, we might say, well, that's just a formality included in a letter. He's writing a letter. You know he's going to say something, some type of a greeting in the beginning and a greeting at the end. It's not important beyond that. But I'm wondering, is there more that meets the eye or the ear, as the case may be? And obviously I do, or we wouldn't be talking about it this morning. You know, God doesn't waste words, does he? This is a thick book, by many accounts, but we don't believe there are any words wasted in this book. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, you mean to tell me that that includes something like this, where he is telling the people 2,000 years ago that they need to greet one another with a holy kiss? That is something that has an impact on my life, and of course those of us who believe that this is the Word of God, and as we just read, inspired by God, breathed out by God, we would say, yes, we do. In fact, you can go back into the Old Testament and find a list of genealogies and say, how in the world does that impact my life? But we find from comparing Scripture to Scripture and studying the Word of God that all Scripture is truly breathed out by God and all Scripture is truly profitable. So what can we extract for our lives and our local church from this exhortation for us to greet one another? Well, I'd like for us to seek to answer that question this morning by observing greeting one another from three different angles. And the first angle will be this, the purpose of greeting one another. Why are we to greet one another? And again, I'm taking this personally. I'm taking this personally for us. I'm believing that in this repeated command that God was not just including a formality in a letter, which was only for the people of that day, but rather was something that he chose that would be preserved down through the history of the church and also applied in the history of the church. So why are we to greet one another? Well, we'll start with a definition of that word greet, or again, if you were reading in the King James, the word salute. Here's the Greek word, espazoi, and it means literally, which I found this very interesting and did not expect this definition, but literally it means to draw to oneself. I never would have guessed that as I just thought about what the word would mean. But that's literally what it means, to draw to oneself. Now, there's the thought there, obviously, of a physical or geographical drawing to oneself. That when you greet someone, you are seeking to draw them in physically to where you are. But I would suggest also emotionally and relationally. That when we greet someone, the intention is to be to draw them in to us, not only in their physical location, but also through their emotions and in our relationship. Because really, greeting is a mark of relationship. On the broadest scale, it's a mark of our relationship as human beings. Because we often greet people that we've never met, never seen before, will never see again, and yet we speak to them, and we might say good morning. We might say hello. We might even say, how are you? So as human beings, we greet one another. As acquaintances, people that we know, maybe in the workplace or in the community or in the marketplace or through some activity in which we're involved, we may not know them well, but we still will greet them out of politeness. We're seeking to be respectful. Here in the South, maybe we're even quicker to greet someone than people in certain other parts of the country, not to be named or referred to in any way. But if you're from a part of the country where you don't speak to other people, then you'll know maybe that's what we're talking about. But then there is that relationship as friends. It's interesting, in the Word of God, in the New Testament, during the life of the Lord Jesus, we see several times where a kiss is offered as a greeting to a friend. Now, in Luke 7 and verse 45, we read there about the time when the Lord Jesus was with the disciples and they were invited to the home of Simon the Pharisee. We, not too long ago, went through the book of Luke, and you may remember that. And there, the Lord Jesus said to Simon, the host, you gave me no kiss. But then, of course, a woman had come in and she was not ceasing, the Lord Jesus said, to kiss his feet in worship since the time he came in. Simon didn't give him a kiss when he should have. And then in Luke 22, in verse 48, we read of the Lord Jesus speaking to Judas, one of those who was very close to him for 3 years, one of his followers, and he came, we know, to kiss the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? What was the picture? The picture there was you're a friend. And he came up to express his friendship, right? To greet the Lord Jesus with a kiss. But the Lord Jesus knew his heart. And then there's another, I would say, even a closer relationship, and that's that of a family. And you can go out throughout the Old Testament and you will find brothers and cousins and parents and children and grandparents and uncles and aunts, and they are kissing one another. They're expressing their greetings and their love to one another. And I think that when we come to this idea of greeting one another, we're not addressing the kissing part specifically right now, but rather looking at how they greeted then. But I think that when we come to this idea of family, that's where there is a distinction between our everyday greetings, that we would greet anybody that we come across, or maybe someone we know, or even someone we know well. But when we greet a fellow believer, when we greet, as it's written here by Paul and Peter, by the Holy Spirit, when we greet one another, we are greeting a family that's even closer than our blood family. We are part of a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ if we know the Lord Jesus. If we have believed on Him as our Savior, then we have the same Father. The same Holy Spirit has drawn us to the Lord Jesus, and we have Him living in us. We have the same one who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the one who died for us and rose again. And our brother prayed this morning that if there's anybody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, that they would hear the gospel and be saved. And there's good news. There's good news to everyone, no matter where we're from, no matter what we've done, no matter what our name is, no matter how many friends we have or how few friends we have, no matter how many people we greet or don't greet, there's one who loves you. It's God. He loves you. He loves me. He loves the whole world. And what's so amazing about that is that we've all sinned against Him. We're all His enemies by our nature, according to Romans chapter 5. And yet, in His love, He sent His own Son. The one who would be betrayed with a kiss, the one who would be overlooked and neglected by a religious leader of his day when he entered into his home and wouldn't be offered a kiss from him, and that very one, the perfect one, God in the flesh, would go to the cross of Calvary that our sister sang about this morning. And there at the cross, He would die for us. There at the cross, He would take our sin upon Himself, not just suffering a physical death, but much worse, suffering spiritual death. We read in the book of Revelation of the second death, that death where death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, and that's for all eternity. And the Lord Jesus, in a way that I can't begin to understand, suffered hell, as it were, or I'll say this, suffered worse than the lake of fire on that cross. Now you say, how could that be? He was there a matter of hours. How could He suffer more than someone will suffer in hell for all eternity? Well, that's when the perfect, sinless, Holy One becomes sin. That's a suffering that we can't begin to enter into. But the point is, the Lord Jesus took that sin on Himself, and He suffered for us and died for us, and then was raised back to life. And because of that, we have the great privilege to come to God through Jesus Christ. And if you've never received Him as your Savior, and you know you're a sinner, and you know you're guilty before God, you can, right where you sit this very moment, you don't have to wait till an altar call. You don't have to wait till you're talking to somebody. You can right now, in the quietness of your heart, ask God to forgive you of your sins because you believe on His Son as your Savior. Can receive Him right where you sit. He will save you. He will make you a new creation. And we read that the Spirit of God will birth you anew from above into a new family. And you may have a wonderful family. You may have a terrible family. Your family may be somewhere in between. But God says, I'll be your Father forever. And nobody will ever take you out of my hand. And you're going to have new brothers and sisters, and some of them are going to be aggravating, and some of them are going to be encouraging, but they're all going to be a part of your family. And one day, you're all are going to not only be forgiven, you're going to be perfect. And I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. Well, you don't have to put up with my idiosyncrasies anymore. And you don't have to put up with my irritations anymore. Because I'm going to be like the Lord Jesus. I'm going to see Him as He is. You can be part of the family. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then you are part of the family. And this is not just any family. This is the family of God. This is a unified family that has been brought together by the Spirit of God. And therefore, our greeting of one another is to be deeper. I really believe this. Our greeting of one another is to be deeper than our greeting of anyone else. I think that's the picture. I think that's Paul's heart. I think we have an opportunity, the purpose of our greeting, it's an opportunity for expression or communication. Let me mention several things. First of all, acknowledgement. You know, greeting someone at the most primary level, it acknowledges that they are there. I know you've probably been in a situation where someone ignored your presence. They didn't greet you. They didn't speak to you. They knew you were there, and you knew they knew you were there, but they didn't speak to you. You see, just by acknowledging someone, by greeting them with a simple greeting, we acknowledge their presence. Also, we express attention. We are saying, in essence, I am choosing among everything else that I could be looking at right now, I'm looking at you. And I'm greeting you. I'm speaking to you. That can mean a lot. More than we may realize. It can be an expression of affirmation. You're saying, following up on that, I choose to focus on you. You have importance to me. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that you're important enough to me that I will stop what I'm doing and I will speak to you. I will greet you. And I think that affirmation says you're important because sometimes it says, how are you? Now, sometimes we don't really want to know, but that's what we say. How are you doing? Or you might make a comment about, how's your father feeling? Or I really like that tie you're wearing. Or whatever you might say. You know, after my father passed away, you know, some people, you hear all kind of things that you didn't know about your loved one when people share with you. And one of the things I learned about my dad is that though he was a quiet man and often off to the side, people would say, you know, he always made me feel important. He had a little pet name for me or my family, or he knew something about us, and he would always greet us. And my dad was a wonderful greeter in a way that I didn't realize while he was alive. And then there's acceptance. Because when you speak to someone, normally you are inviting them to speak back to you. You're saying, I want to interact with you. And again, some of these may seem like simple things, but they can be very important. When the greeting is sincere enough to express that acceptance. And then appreciation. It's an opportunity when we greet someone. We are expressing that I'm thankful for you. I'm grateful to God for you. You're a blessing to me. Now, we may not say all of that, but that may be what we intend to, or maybe we can say it. And then it expresses affection, as we would think about in what we find here as the holy kiss. The idea that I want the best for you. I care about you. And therefore, I'm greeting you. So that's just some of the ways that a greeting, some of the things that a greeting can express. From very primary to very deep. Let's summarize it this way. As fellow believers, we are to intentionally greet with a desire to be in closer fellowship with each other. In other words, I don't think that my good morning is going to make you and I necessarily any closer. But when I greet another believer, I should not just be mindlessly saying hello. There should be intention in that. I should be thinking, this is a command from God, an opportunity for me to express to someone else my greetings, my respect, my appreciation, whatever I sense toward that person, or desire to sense toward that person, a desire to be in closer fellowship. It may not make the difference, but you know, it's like a little step. It's like a little grain of sand added to the sandcastle. The purpose of greeting one another. Secondly, there's what we'll call the angle of the pattern, of greeting one another. The question here is there a biblical pattern for greeting one another? We are what we sometimes refer to, this local church, as a New Testament patterned church. We seek to pattern the meetings of this assembly. We seek to pattern the leadership of this assembly. We seek to pattern the activities of this assembly and the outreach of the assembly. We seek to pattern this on what we see in the New Testament. in the book of Acts and in the epistles, the letters particularly, as we see the church laid out there also in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, and then some in the words of the Lord Jesus as well. So we have patterns. There are things that we do here that are not commanded per se in the Bible. And yet we do them not because we just think, hey, that's a good idea, but because we see a pattern. Why do we meet for the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning? Why do we do that? I don't find a command in the Word of God that says you shall meet the first day of every week of the year. I don't see that as a command, but I do see it as a pattern. And those who started this local assembly over 75 years ago saw the pattern. The early church, they met together the first day of the week. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 8, we see that Paul and his group waited until the first day of the week in Troas so that they could meet together with the believers to break bread. So we see a pattern. We see a pattern in open sharing for the men at the Lord's Supper. We see a pattern in the selecting of deacons in Acts chapter 6. Again, not a command, but we find a pattern there. So there are many things that we do as a pattern. So I'm just wondering, is there a pattern of greeting one another? And if so, is the pattern the greeting or the kiss? You know, now kissing as a greeting was definitely the norm at the time that this was written, back in the first century, and in the place where this was written, in Middle Eastern culture. It's the culture in which the church was born. And the church overrides culture. The church is not contained in any one culture, but it's also impacted by the culture in practical ways. You say, not this local church. We are not impacted by the culture. You're not. Why are you dressed like you are? I don't think Jesus wore what you had on, and I don't think his mother wore what you ladies have on. No, we are impacted. We realize that. To some degree, we're impacted by the culture where we are, some of the way that we meet. And when we meet, it's all culturally affected, or impacted, rather. And we have biblical principles to consider in all of these things, but in those things, we also have freedom, which often is based on our culture. We have some folks here in this assembly from India. We have some from different places in Africa, and occasionally they will wear what is more culturally relevant where they live, where they're from, rather, not where they live, but where they are from. And what they're wearing is not any better or any worse than what we're wearing, right? But it's impacted by culture. But we come together as believers. Today, there are many places where kissing is still the normal cultural greeting, whether you're a believer or not. Cheek kissing, which I think is what we have here, is very common in southern, central, and eastern Europe, in the Mediterranean, the Middle East, the Horn of Africa, and Latin America. Not as common in English-speaking Canada and the United States, nor in Asia or Northern Europe. But greeting styles differ by cultures today. Now here, if you were in Tibet, the Tibetan monk may stick his tongue out to you. He's not saying, I don't like you. No, he's saying hello. This started out because they were wanting to express, to make everybody know, they weren't the reincarnation of this certain guy who had a black tongue. So that's how they got started. If you were in the Philippines, then they may mano you. And again, if I mispronounce some of these, you'll forgive me. You can see them. But you see, they're taking the hand and putting the forehead down on there. Here in Japan, or not here in Japan, but here in this picture, in Japan, bowing is a common greeting. Namaste in India, putting the hands up to the face like that. That's where our sister Mandy Wilson is, and she used to put that in some of her emails, and I thought, is that where she's living? Until I finally figured out it was a greeting. Oman, nose kisses. I don't know. I mean, you don't go to Oman, though, do you? They try to nose kiss with Amin. He might not work. New Zealand, the hanji, all right? Kind of the same as the nose kiss, but you got to keep your eyes focused on that other person. Malaysia, they would touch the fingertips and then go to their hearts. speaking of, you know, you're close to my heart. That's just a greeting. The Kinnick in Greenland, where they put their nose and lips up near the cheek and breathe in. That's what they do there. Again, a common greeting. They wouldn't think about it. Now, this is a little more unusual. In Kenya, I assume that's Adamu, and these certain ones, they would jump up and down. That guy's got some air right there now. He can he'll be playing in the NBA. In Thailand, the Y-E, just a different or a very distinct but small bow there. So those are some of the different ways around the world where people greet each other. They're cultural. They're cultural. When we take cultural differences and we look at Scripture, we have to be careful. There's dangers because we can explain away things in the Word of God if we're not careful. But at the same time, we have to realize that there are things that are culturally acceptable, and the Word of God has made the church in such a way, it's not like Judaism. Judaism, there was one temple in one place and one way that you did everything, and there was no flexibility, and you couldn't do it if you were somewhere else, only if you were there in Jerusalem. But the church is not like that. The church is set up by God. It can be done anywhere. On any continent, any place, any culture, you take the principles of the New Testament pattern of meeting, and it works everywhere. So we know that it fits within the culture, so we have to be careful. Now, some Christians are convicted that the kiss is still a biblical injunction, and I respect that. Personally, I believe that it's the spirit of the law, if you want to call it that, not the letter, but the spirit of what Paul is saying is that an appropriate cultural greeting is the point. Not that it has to be a kiss. Now, is it okay to greet with a kiss? I think if it's done appropriately, we'll look a little more at that as we go through. It can be. Is it wise? Well, again, we have to be careful. We have to apply the Word of God, and we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. I'm not sure they don't have, that I can find any information regarding the first two centuries of the church, but by the third century of the church, the greeting with a kiss was not practiced between sexes. In other words, only men would greet men with a kiss, and women would greet women with a kiss. Well, you can see the reason for that. The care in that, the wisdom in that, and that likely was what happened during the first two centuries, we just don't know. So as I think about applying that to our Western culture, specifically where we live, what are the appropriate cultural greetings here? Well, I would suggest a handshake is a very appropriate cultural greeting. A touch, maybe on the arm, on the hand, whatever. And even a hug. Again, all of these, I think, would be appropriate cultural greetings, which would not seem strange. You know, what's common about this and the kiss? They all involve human touch. And we've probably all heard about studies that talk about the importance of human touch for a baby, even for adults. I read an article recently about a woman who was a school teacher, and she wasn't married, and she couldn't touch her kids. She was afraid to touch her kids because of the culture and what's going on in our world today, and she didn't have anybody at home, and she was talking about just never being touched. Never being touched. Not a handshake, not a pat on the back, not a hug. You know, the Lord Jesus touched a lot of people. And we say he touched me, and he physically touched a lot of people. And a lot of the people he touched were people that nobody else was going to touch. A leper, for instance, I'm not going to touch that person. But the Lord Jesus often touched when he healed, not always, and expresses closeness. You know, in the family, you know, there are some families that are hugging families, all right? Some of you come from hugging families. Some of you come from, hey, don't touch me at all families, all right? You know, hey, it doesn't mean that one family's closer than the other one. It doesn't. There are different ways to express that closeness. But I believe we find here in the New Testament, they were greeting with a kiss, a physical touch. Some might say, well, is it a sin if I don't greet a brother or sister in Christ with a physical touch? And I don't think so. Unless The reason that you're not willing to shake that hand is because there's a sin that's motivating that failure. But it's not a legalistic rule. I don't want to paint that in any way. I think the pattern is to greet one another, and this is expected in the New Testament, to include a culturally appropriate physical expression. But again, culture doesn't define the church. So, some cultures, people don't hug. People don't shake hands. They just speak. But you know, it's interesting because in those cultures, it may be that Christians will be marked by their hugs, by their handshakes. And in an overly physical culture, Christians may be noted by their carefulness in greeting. So we'll summarize here. The New Testament pattern of a physical expression of greeting is not intended to be a legalistic duty, but a joyful privilege. I want to make sure I make that clear today. I'm not saying we need to have a hug police or a handshake police or even a greeting police that, hey, you didn't greet that person. That's not the point. It's not some type of legalistic rule, but rather it's a joyful privilege. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have the great privilege and honor of being able to reach out and greet one another. So finally, as we close, what we'll call the practice of greeting one another. What are some practical thoughts on greeting one another? I just want to talk about a few hindrances and a few helps. First of all, some hindrances to greeting one another. These are things that can hinder us as believers from greeting one another. One is distraction, and I'm going to give you a verse here that you can look at later to kind of help draw us away from that. But here we have Martha, who was distracted with much serving. We think about a husband or a father who was so preoccupied with his job that he misses his wife. He overlooks his wife. He neglects his children. It's very easy to be done, not only by a husband, but by a wife, by anybody. We can be distracted and not even think about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then there's self-focus. So focused on me that I'm not thinking about how I can bless someone else with a simple greeting. I'm not thinking about that. And then there's maybe shyness. You know, some people are shy and it's difficult, and I think that these next few, insecurity and even fear, all of them can kind of be tied together as reasons that sometimes people don't reach out with a greeting. But you know, God is able to help us overcome those things, and that's what these verses talk about. Because it's important, I believe, to greet one another. It's a command in the New Testament. And I don't think it was there just for those folks in the first century. I think that God included that because he knew the importance of family, and he also knew the tendency that we may have to drift away from that. And then there are grudges or hard feelings, and I'm not going to speak to that person. And I don't want that person to speak to me because of what I know is between us. So there, obviously, we are thankful for God, the reconciler. So those are some hindrances, maybe some reasons that we would not greet someone else. And all of those, God is able to overcome and desires to overcome those in our lives because it's important that we function as a family. And if you're in a family and you come in and nobody speaks to you, and you come to dinner and you sit down and nobody talks to you, and you get ready to go to bed and nobody tells you good night, I mean, you're going to think this isn't right. That's not the way a family acts. Of course, it's not the way the family of God should act. What about some helps? Just a few helps here in greeting one another. First of all, with greetings that are sanctified. You know, back in Romans 16:16, and then two other passages, three actually, we talked about a holy kiss. Now, Paul could have just said, greet one another with a kiss, right? He could have said that. But he said, greet one another with a holy kiss. The word holy and the word sanctified, sanctification, they come from the same root word. It means to be set apart. It carries with it the thought of purity, set apart. So maybe set apart by the motive of holiness. And I'm greeting this person not for me. Not even technically for them, but for God. I have set apart the whole idea of greeting one another. I've set that apart for God. And that might say, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, as mundane as those things are, you do it to the glory of God. Even greeting one another. Do everything to the glory of God. Holiness also ensures an appropriate expression. There's the holy lifestyle. We lift up holy hands as we read in prayer. The men lifting up holy hands in prayer. What's the thought there? Purity. Look at my hands. They're clean. I'm keeping things right with God. I'm allowing the Lord Jesus to work through me as I greet others. It should be a reflection of the holy lifestyle that I'm allowing the Lord Jesus to live through me. And of course, it's by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. Sincere greeting, not hypocritical. I think about what we read there in 1 Peter chapter 5 about the kiss of love. In Romans 12:9, Paul said this about love: let love be without hypocrisy. You say, okay, I'm off the hook because I don't love that guy, so I don't have to greet him. No, that's not the deal. What's the deal? The deal is that if I don't love that guy, if there's something that's a problem between him and me, then I've got a responsibility to address that so that it can be true love, that I do want what's best for that person by the power of God, who is love. And then a greeting that is sensitive. Sensitive to what the recipient is comfortable with. You may be a hugger. Everybody doesn't feel the same way about hugging you do. You know, if you like to hug, don't just run up there and grab them, you know. I mean, that, you know, say, hey, do you mind if I hug you? Or maybe you can tell a lot of times. A handshake. Some people stiffen up at a handshake. Don't go for the hug, all right? Be sensitive. Be led by the Spirit. Think about how others are observing. You know, I think about the potential problems here when we talk about being sensitive. That's one of the dangers with the holy kiss. Sometimes it's not so holy. And we have to be careful. We have to be wise. In our culture, even today, men kissing men, women kissing women. In the culture in which we live, we have to be careful about how others are seeing it. We don't want to avoid the appearance of evil. We want our lives to be a good testimony. We just have to be wise and just be on guard, even with a hug. Can I just say something very practical here? Just very practical. Hugging a sister in the Lord. Is that a problem? Some sisters don't want to be hugged by a brother in the Lord, and that's fine. We need to respect that, but sometimes they don't mind. But you know what? Whether it's a man hugging a woman or a woman hugging a man or whatever, if we're going to do that, we need to be careful. You know, I mean, a full embrace, frontal embrace, that's not, I don't think that's very holy. It doesn't look holy, okay? So, hey, be practical. The side hug, right? I'm serious. The side hug. Or, I looked this up, I thought, what do you call this? The A-hug, all right? You lean over. Hey, is that practical? I mean, it's something we need to think about. Because sometimes, I'm telling you, people get the wrong message. And we live in a culture where the wrong message can be sent by a hug. And you may mean it in all holiness. But it's not necessarily going to be received in all holiness. It's not going to necessarily be perceived by ones watching. As in all holiness, we need to be sensitive. We need to be wise. Be sensitive to taking the initiative in greeting. Some people may be more reserved. You reach out to them. Put out your hand. Speak a word, a kind word with a smile. And really mean it. And ask them how they're doing. And really want to know. Focus on others rather than self. You see, I think we can say that practical greeting is really practical giving. We're giving of ourselves. We're giving of our time. We're giving of our energy in such a simple way. So we're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to put it into practice, right? Greet at least one person before you leave this morning, this afternoon. We're going to put it into practice. Greet one another, and I trust that God will grow us together as an assembly. And if you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior this morning, we'd love to know about that. We want to know about new brothers and sisters in Christ. Or if you have more questions, we'd love to talk about that. Let's pray. Our brother will play a verse on a hymn, if you would, David, after we can meditate for just a moment on this. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. You're so gracious and kind. You're merciful and loving. Thank you for greeting us. Thank you for greeting us with yourself, with your Son, with your Word. Thank you for holding us. Thank you for your warm embrace of us. Thank you, Lord, for all we have in Christ. Thank you for one another. Lord, give us wisdom that we might be intentional in reaching out to one another, even in a simple way like a greeting. Father, we just praise you and commit ourselves to you and ask you that you would work in all of our hearts. You know what we need. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.